know. It's the blitz. Are we here or not? Okay, well, what happened to the intro? Well, yeah, okay, never mind. We're just off to a really fun start here for the Tuesday show out here at Revelry on Richmond, which is a very cool place. Obviously having a little technical issues. David, get your damn foot off my headphones. And, yeah, so just off to a great start here. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. This is what happens when all of my people are gone. This is what happens when Jong's gone. No offense, Tyler, because Tyler would be out here. And, yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on here. Can't even hear the music in my headphones. So if the show indeed started with music, I didn't hear it. So that's why you didn't get your usual opening. But if you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. We'll try phone calls at some point. I'm not sure we'll be able to do it. I'm just hoping we can stay on air for 3 hours here. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. Lewis, I don't even know your Twitter. We'll have to get to that. And we'll Tyler, at some point, will find a decent Twitter, and we'll give his out. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. It's a Tuesday. Usually everybody's in a bad mood. I can kind of understand it here, getting out here and not even being told the show was started. So I get it. But don't be in a bad mood today. Let's have some fun. And filling in today is Lewis Woodard, who is on the network a lot on our other station. Also has done a few here on ESPN 97.5. He's also a bigger Game of Thrones nerd than all of us combined. So we will do Game of Thrones today at 6 o'clock. And you'll get a chance to hear him completely nerd out over all of his fan theories. But, Lewis, appreciate you filling in, man. And let's at some point we'll actually get this thing lined up right where we're not standing here like idiots and hobos.
I'm standing behind you like I'm about to take a snap from you. It's a little awkward.
Yeah, I know. It's very strange. And so now you're staring at my computer, which is always is a very awkward thing because I don't like people looking at my computer while I'm doing the show.
Yeah, you don't have any windows open that I would be ashamed of, more or less.
Well, I did have Pornhub up, but that was because of something Jerome Solomon sent me. And we're going to talk about that at some point in the show. But other than that, no, there's nothing on there that would get – but, you know, usually – I'm not complaining, but usually when we get set up, there's chairs and, you know, we actually can sit down and, you know, pay attention to what's on our computer and do our show notes.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, not too worried, but happy to be back. Took yesterday off, although it wasn't actually a day off. I was working on a project, which I don't know if I want to tell the people about because I don't know if I want to jinx it.
Sounds a little too big for you to put the expectations out there before you deliver, Fred.
Well, it's I think it's probably something that I'm going to hold off on telling the people, but it's involved with a movie, and I spent a lot of time on it yesterday, and it looks like that's something that's going to happen. So that's what I was doing yesterday. But glad to be back and doing the show. And Lewis will be remind everybody that we will be ranking all the guest hosts, power rankings.
Interesting.
And so if you like Lewis, be sure you rank him well. On Thursday, which is the last day before AJ returns, we will rank everybody in order. So you got a tough act to follow with Jerome Solomon on Friday. He was terrific. And appreciate Barry and Mike Liebeschock filling in yesterday. Mike will do the show with me tomorrow, and then the Hustletown guys will be with me on Thursday, and then AJ is back on Friday. Missed a lot of stuff, man, and I want to start with Muhammad Ali, and I want to save most of that until Jerome is on the air because I know he did a bunch of work on it. He and I talked about it Friday. He's scheduled to join us at 5:30 as he does every Tuesday. But I'm just going to go with my favorite moment of Ali. It wasn't one of his fights. It was when he lit the torch at the Atlanta Olympics. When, you know, he's up there and he's the last one they show. His hands are shaking as he's holding the torch, and people had not seen him in years. And I just thought that was an incredibly cool moment and just sort of set the tone for the Olympics and everything else. And that's kind of the memory that I have best of him. And I know people have talked about it a lot, so I'm not going to get into it too much today, but that was my favorite memory.
It's one of the more tragic things about him is that the most outspoken guy in sports, because of head injuries later in his career, didn't have a voice. And I'm in my 20s, Fred, so I can't say I remember him fighting. I can't say I even really remember any of his social stands. I mean, I know what I've read and I know what I've seen on YouTube, but, you know, we have been deprived of something as sports fans over the past couple of decades of his career. And it's interesting because we talk about head injuries all the time in football, and I never really hear Ali referenced in that conversation.
Well, and you know, with the Parkinson's, there was, you know, some question as to what caused it and, you know, how that affected him. But the reality is, if he was a guy who was around in the social media era, he would have just been even bigger. I mean, we're talking about one of the biggest stars, and what he did in terms of standing up to the draft is the kind of thing that, frankly, you know, I think it happens a lot now that people take a stand politically, and he was hated for it, but he reinvented himself. And the truth is, I think he's a guy that he was a true treasure, and I think most of you who have missed out on the end of his career when he could still be Muhammad Ali truly did miss out. And it's just not the same as it is now, where we have video and audio of everything, but a lot of that was lost, and that's a real shame. We'll talk to Jerome about that. NBA Finals, not going too well for the Cavaliers. We're talking to some of the owners out here at Revelry on Richmond, which we are at, by the way, and we'll be from 4 to 7 in the Gold Cup tonight. So if you want to come out and watch some soccer, hopefully it will go better than it did the other night. But come out here to Revelry on Richmond. Terrific beer selection, and I can vouch for the burgers big time. Just had one. Fantastic. But, yeah, I think the Cavs will win one at home, maybe two, but, boy, they're going to have to play a lot better basketball, man.
I don't see them getting to a game six, Fred. I can't imagine them beating the Warriors two games in a row after what we saw in the Bay Area. I mean, that wasn't even Golden State's best basketball. If you look at all of the shots that Curry and Klay Thompson missed in the first game, and to me, the most damning thing about this for the Cavaliers is all of those plays where those guys are looking at each other like, hey, are we going to switch this or not? Boom, dunk. Like they look like they've never played before.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people were already writing off the Warriors when they were down to the Thunder, and Steph Curry got healthy, and all of a sudden the whole thing changed, because even when he's not playing his best, that's a deep team, and just having that threat makes all the difference in the world. I do think the Cavs will play better at home. I think they win the next game, but they're going to have to show a lot more than they have from a matchup perspective, and the Warriors are almost unbeatable at home. They have been all year and until the playoffs when Steph wasn't 100%. But, man, it's hard to get interested in this series. And we were talking to one of the owners, and people are leaving at halftime. They might as well. I mean, there's just not much to watch.
This was supposed to be the most interesting finals probably since 2010, maybe, where you had Kobe going up against the Celtics for the second time. Like, in terms of sexiness of the matchups, you've got Steph Curry, two-time MVP, LeBron. Does he get that championship for Cleveland? It had everything that you would try to sell in terms of fan interest, and it's just been garbage.
Well, and from a ratings perspective, it's been fantastic the first two games. I'll be curious to see if that continues. I think the way these first two games have gone, I could see a big drop-off for Game 3. Even as a sports fan who loves to watch events like this, it's hard for me to be very interested. And yeah, I'll watch the first half, and if it looks like the first two games, I'll be like everybody else. I'll eject.
Curry only played 24 minutes in Game 2. I mean, all due respect to Livingston and Maurice Spates and everybody else on that bench, I mean, that's not keeping people glued to the TV screen.
No, and 20-point games went early on in the third quarter aren't doing it either. And that's unfortunate, but, hey, the numbers are still good, so we'll see if that lasts. But it has been, so far, a very boring, uninteresting NBA Finals, and I didn't expect that. I at least thought that the games would be close until late. Yeah, you know, and then the Warriors would pull away and win their two home games. But it hasn't been anything like that at all.
We also haven't seen LeBron at the level he played last year in the finals. Like, I kind of thought that we would have maybe a six-gamer with two LeBron games, like two 40, 10, and 10s, where he would remind everybody that he was still the best player in the world, and we haven't seen that gear yet.
Well, we might when they get back to Cleveland. But so far, I don't know that he's had the chance. I mean, the game has basically been over before it started the last two. And I just wish that it would be more competitive, and hopefully when it gets to Cleveland it will be. But I do think it just kind of goes to show that this Warriors team that we've been talking about all year truly is special, and they're playing at a ridiculous level right now. And when you can do that, you're going to win an awful lot of basketball games.
Cross-generational comparisons are always really irritating in sports. People get really bent out of shape, but you know, if they complete the 73-win regular season with a championship, I don't really know anything that you can say about them from a negative perspective.
Well, and you know, that history will be judged when we actually can sit down and look at the end of this, but we'll see. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, we will attempt to take some phone calls, and we'll attempt to get this thing reset because, frankly, hasn't gone so well here. But we'll get it set up for the – don't point at yourself. I'm not calling you out, David. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling out everybody. But that's all right. You know, it's on us to do a fun show anyway. It's on us to react, so we will. And I'll tell you what, this is kind of cool because I know this is something that you like the melting pot a lot, and I like the melting pot a lot. If you're looking for a place to take your date, this is perfect. If you're looking for a place to go on Father's Day, how about this? 4-course meal with endless entree and dad's first beer is free. $39.95 per person, $18.95 for kids. This is a great deal because the food they have there is amazing. The whole fondue setup gives you an opportunity to eat the food together, and it is just, I got to tell you, it is a great experience. If my dad were still around, that's where I would take him for Father's Day. It's a very special place. It's very cool. And, I mean, great beer selection, great wine selection, and the whole thing is something that you're going to remember. It's not just like you're going to, we're going to go to a restaurant for Father's Day. No, you will remember the experience, and you'll want to go back. Great for Father's Day, great for dates. Guys, you definitely want to score. This is a place to go because if you take your girl there, I can almost guarantee you when you get home, it's happening because she is going to have a great time. You're going to have a great time. And ladies, same thing. Take your guy. But take your dad for Father's Day for that special. That's fantastic. $39.95 per person, 4-course meal with endless entrees, and dad's first beer is free. You cannot beat that. $18.95 for kids. That's the Melting Pot on Westheimer. Go and check them out. You'll love it. The Melting Pot.
ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And we're just going to start this whole thing over. So that, no A.J. today. He will be back on Friday. Lewis Woodard filling in. And, Lewis, give them your Twitter if they want to insult you.
At Lou Woodard. So there's two W's in the middle there. At Lou Woodard.
So that looks really weird on Twitter. But you know what? At least, I have to say, at least that Twitter makes sense. Tyler, you need a Twitter that makes sense. All right. Ordinarily, I'll take the blame when things get off to a really crappy start. I don't think I've ever said this before. This was totally on these guys. Completely 100%. 100%. And you know what? But that's all right. We forgive them. It's a learning experience for everyone, and nothing for us to be upset about because we're out here at Revelry on Richmond, which is a fantastic place, great beer selection. For those of you who share my love of the St. Arnold's Bishop's Barrel Series, they have several of them. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, and Kimbo Slice goes the way of all flesh. I got to say, I'm not all that surprised. Steroids, big guy. He was in studio with us before the Bellator fights and was having some health issues. The guy was just one of the first really big YouTube stars, and certainly that led him to an MMA career. But heart failure, apparently, is what they're saying. I kind of wish this is the 1 year we should have had a Deadpool. I'm pretty sure I would have drafted Kimbo Slice at some point, especially after that fight when it looked like he was going to drop dead in the ring when both of them were.
That's what's going to be really interesting to me about the autopsy, Fred, to see if there are any PEDs involved, because I know a lot of people out there just want to say, oh, let the guys juice, let them hit as many home runs as possible, let them play 16 games a year in the NFL. Just, I don't want to see it, just let it happen, but this is the kind of thing that can happen. I mean, you can have heart complications if you're juiced up on the wrong thing, and that's why I would not want to see sports go that way.
See, I have no problem with them going that way. Those guys know what they're getting into, and if you ask him, would he trade everything that's happened for another 20 years? Probably not. So that's a personal choice. It's just like anything else. It's just like drinking or smoking or doing heroin. I mean, once you make you make that choice, then that's on you. And for me, athletes should have that opportunity. I mean, it's their bodies, but you know what? Nobody agrees with me on that. So I'm trying to – you know what I'm thinking, though, for the Deadpool, when we have our draft, thinking who my top three picks would be. I think Johnny Football will go first because he'll be worth the most points. Lamar Odom's got to be a very high pick right now. That guy, he almost died once already. Apparently he's back on the hard drugs. Here's my sleeper pick, Aqib Talib.
Wow.
Guy likes being around guns a lot. Allegedly shot himself in the leg. This is at least the second gun-related thing he's been involved in. I'm going to put that guy pretty high up on my list for a Deadpool. I think he's either going to shoot himself or somebody else is going to shoot him.
I don't understand how someone else could have shot him the way they described the bullet. Like, if you read about the situation, they said it went in through his thigh and out through his calf. Is someone going to sneak up to him and just point a gun down his leg and pull the trigger? Like, he had to have shot himself, right?
It appears so, which, okay. You know what? Maybe you're not good with guns, man. And he'd already had that incident where his mom and the other guy were involved. I think some guys, maybe that's not your thing.
I think I'm with you on the first two picks there, Fred. I think you focus on the people with substance problems and just assume that they can't control those. Aqib Talib, though, that one, you're kind of banking on him getting himself into the wrong situation with the wrong crowd or him not understanding firearm safety. It's more of a stretch.
Nah, I don't know. I think you've got two incidents now in, 4 years? I like my chances with him. Will wants to know, what's your take on Giles' comments that the Astros are a better team than the Rangers after blowing the save and losing all the games so far? The Astros cannot beat the Rangers, and they haven't been able to for a couple of years. And I don't think you can come out and say after you've blown a save that you're a better team than the Rangers. And I don't think they are a better team. I think they're not that far behind them, but I don't think they're better than the Rangers. And certainly in the head-to-head matchups, they're terrible. I don't know what they have to do to fix this, but they clearly just cannot match up with this team right now. And, you know, it's one game. Maybe they'll try, but this is a stretch now where we're going on 2 years now where they can't beat the Rangers.
Well, it's odd. It's 0-7 this year. I mean, even the worst baseball matchup possible, you should at least try to have, 2-5 in there, right? I mean, a college baseball team can beat a professional team in an exhibition at the right time. Like, it just seems really unusual to me. And this is a big start tonight for Keuchel to prove that he's a Cy Young caliber kind of guy.
Well, I don't think he's that this year. He certainly hasn't been close. Now, his last two starts have been better. He did lose the last one, but he ran into a monster. I think the key for this team all along has been they've got to have a healthy Keuchel. They've got to have a Keuchel that is getting people out. And he doesn't have to pitch at the level he pitched at last year, but he needs to be at the level he's been his last couple starts, where he's going to give up a couple runs, but he's going to keep you in the game. And I think that's a big test for him tonight against the Rangers. And I don't know if I don't know what Keuchel will show up, because we've also seen him on the road not be very good. And yeah, you know, Dustin brings up the Astros have lost 11 in a row in Arlington. What do you think's going to happen in the 12th one? I call that a trend.
It's a trend, but at some point you can't. What are you going to go 0-50? At some point you do have to luck up, and maybe when they get some luck, that breaks the mental barrier.
Well, I'm not good at math, but I do know 11 in a row is not good.
No,
that's a bad streak. But you know what? They are playing. They have been playing better baseball. Part of it, I think, was a competition, but this is kind of a key series. It shows whether or not, okay, you were playing better because you were playing crap teams, or you know what, maybe you can be the team that's better than you. We'll see. And they need to at least get one. My goodness. I don't know. It's hard for me to get too excited about this team, because people were tweeting me all weekend when they were winning. Oh, you changed your mind? No, not yet. Because even with that stretch, they hadn't got back to 500. And we're far enough along in the season that it's going to take a couple sustained runs like that for them to get back in contention.
Well, the starting pitching really improved. I think that's the way, if you're trying to find the optimism as an Astros fan, I think you say you got a couple of good starts out of McCullers. I mean, the rotation looks better. And if Keuchel takes another step forward, then you can start talking about getting past 500 and how many games back you are.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 281 says his top three would be Johnny Football, Justin Bieber, and Hillary Clinton. She looks rough these days. And, yeah, and you know, if she does get to be president, that those guys, every single one of them age like 10 years for every one they're in office.
Yeah. Obama's before and after is unreal.
Go look at Bill Clinton. He might have been the worst. And then, like, 10 years after, he looked better than he did when he was in office.
I didn't know that we were allowed to go away from sports here, Fred.
Oh, no,
because you went three in sports. You went Johnny Football, you went Odom, and you went Tlaib. And, I mean, if I knew Bieber was on the table.
Yeah, Bieber's on the table.
I mean, he could
table.
Sports car crash a la Paul Walker. I mean, he could have – there are a number of ways he could go down. Could be crazed fan. Could be some kind of substance problem. I mean, he's kind of a skinny dude with a lot of tats. Matter of fact, the last picture I saw of Manziel, I was like, is that Bieber?
The only problem with putting Hillary on that list is she's old, so you don't get as many points. So the way the Deadpools that we do work, it's based on 100 years old, right? So if you have a 99-year-old on there and they kick, you get 1 point. And so if you've got a 15-year-old, you get 85. So basically you want the Johnny Manziels and guys like that to get a lot of points. I think the last one we did, like Gary Coleman and somebody else died that was really young, and that gave the victory to Matt Dean, who wins every fantasy pool we ever do. But, those are all solid choices. A-Town, my sleeper is Jared from Subway.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
a little dark.
That's a good pick. Although I think they're going to take their time with him in prison first. And, he's going to – they're going to pleasure themselves with Jared for a while before he gets killed. But, yeah, I like that one. That's a very good, very strong choice, A-Town.
I hate to totally hijack this, Fred, but did you see the Stanford swimmer thing?
Yes, I did see the Stanford swimmer thing.
He got 6 months because the judge, who was a Stanford athlete himself, basically said the kid couldn't last in prison.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week. It's like, okay, if that's what you, if that's our standard now, that a guy who committed a crime can't handle prison and it'll ruin his life, well, shouldn't he have thought about that before he did it?
Yeah, I was pretty disgusted by that case, but it reminded me, we were talking about violence against Subway Jared potentially, that apparently that factors into sentencing these days. Someone's too delicate.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Jared, he's going to eat fresh, believe me. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. I think that's music in the background. I can't really tell. Okay, awesome. Also, it's a local music Tuesday, and Tyler, I don't know if you know that this is part of your job, but you have to tweet out all of the bands and songs that you play from our local bands so people know what they are and if they want to go check them out. These are all Houston-based bands and really talented people. So Tyler will be tweeting those out each hour. Won't you, Tyler?
Yes, I will.
All right. See, that was easy. See, we're already getting better. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Revelry on Richmond. All right, I don't want anyone here to take this personally, but the next time A.J. and Jong are both gone, I am taking off too. That's it. Sunfest 2016, the fourth annual beach party and volleyball tournament, is back, presented by Landshark Lager. We kick off the summer with a party each year on the first official Saturday of summer. Join us on June 18th on East Beach. We have volleyball divisions for all levels of players, and this year we're giving away ESPN gear, tickets, and a four-night stay to any Red Roof Inn in the U.S. Sunfest is courtesy of the Galveston CVB, the Galveston Parks Board, Gulf Coast Volleyball Association, ESPN 97.5, and Landshark Lager. John asked how I did on Sunday, 5K or 10K. It was cooler but very humid out there. I did the 10K, and it was the worst one I've ever done. And since you did it, John, you probably know it was pretty wet out there. I took kind of a bad step about a mile in and did something to my back to where I actually, for the first time in one of these, I had to walk a bunch of it because it was too painful. So I finished, but it was brutal. So oh, well, I'll bounce back with the next. I made a bad decision on training, too. I thought I wasn't going to do any running. I just was going to do a lot of biking and stuff to protect my knees. So I did a bunch of cardio, and I thought I'd be fine. And, you know, there's nothing to get your body used to that pounding on the pavement, like actually pounding on the pavement. And, yeah, so it was a fail. But, oh, well, I'll be back.
That muscle memory, Fred, you got to make up for that. You can't just bike and think you can run well.
214 asks, what's the solution to avoid the fall of journalism? Journalism's already fallen. It's the aftershocks that we have to be worried about. And I have to I want to respond to one here, too, because it's a really good point. What about the media printing bogus investigative stories like Sports Illustrated and things like and ESPN is screwed up? See, that is one of the things that has led to the fundamental distrust of the media. And the media does it to itself. But the reality is those mistakes happen because the proper resources are not being used anymore. And that's the thing. ESPN's outside the lines. Yeah, they do investigative stuff, but they don't have a staff to do that properly. And the journalism's always been biased. It was biased when I was there. And the problem with that is we blurred the lines. And that bias you were able to get out because you'd go through two or three or four editors. Now it doesn't. It goes straight up. And I think that's all of those things are problems that aren't fixable. And we, again, I'm just as responsible for this as anybody. We hired people to do blogs on cron.com who were not journalists. And now they've got people doing, quote, they had them doing fan blogs. And now those people are getting credentials. They're not trained journalists. And I hate to tell you this, but just because you have a blog and you have an opinion doesn't make you a trained journalist. And that's another problem. And people aren't going to J school. Why would you? There's not any jobs out there. I had students in communications. I told them to do anything but journalism. You know, go do radio. Go do television. You know, go work for a website. Go work for Pornhub. Whatever. But there's not going to be jobs like that out there, and that's the problem. As far as the solution, I wish I had one. I think at some point, well, I'll probably say this. I am going to do this audiobook, and you know, we're going to try to find some solutions, and I'm going to talk to a lot of people smarter than me about it. It's just on the back burner right now while I alluded to this. It looks like my novel's finally getting made into a movie, so that's what I've been working on. And now I have to decide whether I'm going to release it before it actually comes out, or this is where I really need a literary agent to advise me. So if one of you guys know one, have them email me, fowler975@gmail.com. But, yeah, finally done with the book, and we're going to do a movie out of it. So as soon as I get past that, I'll start working on the audiobook for what's happening with journalism. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, I don't know. I get going on that a lot because I just think we don't think about it because we don't want to. We don't have to.
It's just really easy to take a tweet that someone makes, right? We take Deflategate, for instance, when Jaworski reported on how many of those balls were deflated, and everyone treated that like it was gospel, and then ESPN didn't even apologize when that was wrong. But we trusted because it's coming from a legitimate news source and a blue check on Twitter.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that has kind of gotten lost. If you're wrong, admitting you're wrong. We used to have a thing on page two every day with corrections. And if it was a really bad correction, we'd run it wherever it happened on the page to begin with. It's like, you know what? We screwed up. This was wrong. And, you know, you'd have to go back and look at every process that caused that thing to be screwed up. And that's just gone. Nobody does that anymore. You know, they don't come out and say, oh, whoops, we messed up. It finally ESPN did after, 2 years come out and say, well, yeah, maybe that report wasn't accurate. Really? And, I mean, that's how you gain the public's trust. You are going to screw up. There's not a single person out there in any walk of life, in any job, that doesn't make a mistake. Correct it. It's easy to fix. You can just say, I screwed up. Here's how I'm going to make it better. And that's life. That's easy. Why don't more people do that? In every walk of life, that's all you got to do. Try not to screw up. It's not like you want to screw up. Some people do. But for the most part, it's not like you want to screw up. I don't want to get on here and drop an F-bomb. But if I do, guess what?
Tyler's got to be quick. And if Tyler's not quick, then he might be expendable, right?
Well, he's off to like an F-minus start today. So expendable, possibly, yeah. The grades are not going to be good for the guys today. Just, I mean, you still have time to rally. Like, if you guys are perfect for the rest of the show, you might get to a D+.
Well, if the listeners choose me as, like, the worst guest host, I have a lot of excuses I can lean on.
You can
right
put
here.
That on them. Well, yeah. They're not going to judge you until the Game of Thrones talk.
Okay.
This is where you're supposed to shine. This is where you're supposed to come out and show that you're a bigger geek than everybody else. So that'll be at 6 o'clock, and we'll find out then. Okay. I think that's what they'll judge you from.
I am allowed to have sports opinions, though, right?
I'm waiting for one.
Okay.
We've been here an hour. I haven't heard one yet.
I tried to talk Cavs with you in the beginning. You just were like, hey, the series is over.
That's not what I said. I was trying to sit back and let you give your opinion on it.
The journalism thing is that's your wheelhouse, man. I'm trying to stay out of your way in your wheelhouse. I don't want to disrupt your flow. Like, you're bringing up a lot of really good points about journalism. And here's another one, Fred. All these blogs out there, which make it really easy for guys like me and you to prepare for a show, Deadspin, The Big Lead, For the Win, all of them, that they take news stories from other outlets and then they rephrase them in block quote and offer a simple little opinion. It makes it really hard for the person who comes up with a story to really get all that much credit for breaking it, doesn't it?
Well,
and then at that point, that's how you end up with like a Manti Te'o's girlfriend being reported by 80 different entities because no one does a fact check on what they consider to be one legitimate news source breaking it to begin with.
No, but that's been common for a while. And yeah, that's the other thing is all these websites. I used to have probably 20 websites that I would use for show prep. About 10 of them are the exact same thing now.
Right.
Yard Barker, For the Win, even Larry Brown Sports, all of them have the exact same stories on them. It's just, okay, here's a story, here's my take on it. And that's cool, that's what we are. I mean, that's what society has become. But I would rather it be, here's the story, let the people out there have their own take on it. Well, I just saw a very disturbing tweet. Raheel thinks Silicon Valley is better than Game of Thrones. Boy, if you weren't married, Raheel, I'd have serious questions about you, brother. Wow. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. I'll tell you what a show you should be on if you're not, is Orphan Black.
I'm not on that one. What network?
It's on BBC America.
Okay.
So,
I don't know that I have that on my DirecTV package. I got to hunt for that.
I think it's part of the basic package if you've got DirecTV.
Okay.
Because it's not something I would have ordered special.
Orphan Black. Is there an actor in there that I will recognize? Is there something you can sell me on it?
No, there's no actor you will recognize. But if you like hot chicks,
okay,
clones, science fiction, and totally weird things happening and people dying constantly, it's like Game of Thrones without the dragons.
I'll check it out at some point.
It's pretty much clones instead of Thrones.
I was thinking about checking out Silicon Valley, but are you saying that's not worth my time?
No, it's good. It's just, I mean, it's laughable to compare that to Game of Thrones. It means I have absolutely no respect for your television. So, I mean, it's good. It's just a different kind of show. I'm not even sure it's probably the third best show on Sunday nights fourth, because I think John Oliver's better than the other two, but Veep's better than Silicon Valley, in my opinion. It's not bad, because most of what HBO does, they never do really bad stuff. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. My friend Roger says, tell the other guy the main chick in Orphan Black is super hot. She is, and she plays 12 different characters, and they're all, because she's a clone, and they're all completely different.
So there's 12 different versions of her, so she's on the screen the entire time.
Well, no, there's other characters, but... Hey, I can actually hear the music. All right. You guys have worked yourself up to... Well, you've worked up from F-. How's that? And you got 2 hours left. You can do this. You might be able to improve a letter grade an hour. And damn it, get to a C. It'd just be average today. I'm going to bet against it. I'm going to say the odds are... It's not What Are the Odds Wednesday, but I'm going to say it's about a 5% chance of that happening. But hey, good job, fellas. All right, we're going to take a break. A lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.